to be above, just simply be above. Be above the troubles of this world. Be supreme. What gets you there? Our Father does. You know, our Father's entire word is supposed to keep you from being anxious. That's to say worry. A lot of people just like to hang on to that stuff. I guess they feel it helps them. You know, if they can worry a lot, they worry about this and worry about that. And if I hadn't worried, it probably never would have happened. It probably wouldn't have. Okay, but look how you hurt yourself by not loving God. Knowing you're his child, and humbly as you go before him, he's going to take care of you as long as you use this. Okay. You don't want to use this too much. Use this. Okay. That means don't sit around. Do something. Get it done. Be a can-do type person. And you'll go far down the road, and our Father will bless you. This Greek word is a very interesting word, meaning to be above, and it's important that you know it, and not necessarily memorize it, but I'm going to draw it to your attention as it's utilized in the scriptures and is translated into another word. But the meaning still holds because it's the same word, hupaeko. Hupaeko. Hupa means to hold and to be above. And the echo means to hang on to it. You got it. Okay. So if you're above, hupa echo, two Greek words meaning you're above and you're going to hang on to it. Why? Because we're Father's children. And his word is what gives us that authority and that right. Humbly to come before. It doesn't make you super special as far as being people. You're to be a blessing to other people. You're to be humble before them to share what you have so that they can grow also and they can come above and be above the little anxieties of this world that people will throw at you, which can be pretty large sometimes. But how large is your faith? Okay. If your faith is large enough, you know Father's still on the throne and he's taking care of business. He'll always take care of business. The trouble is, will you be willing to follow him, to obey him, to stay in his word? Open your Bibles, if you would, to the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. That old fisherman, by trade, one that yet was well-founded in God's word and used by God a great deal. He was the one that God chose and said, "Your Peter means rock, Cephas means rock," whichever language you want to say it in. And God used him, and his message is just a little special. Okay. Now, we're going to go here to a word you don't want to be a part of, as we'll learn in this particular chapter. Chapter 5, first book of Peter, verse 1, and it reads, "The elders which are among you I exhort," I want them to listen to me, "who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He touched me, Paul is saying. He led me. Verse 2, what are you supposed to do? Feed the flock. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Don't force yourself on somebody. But willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, not for money, but of a ready mind. A ready mind means a prepared mind, a mind that knows and understands the word and has the ability to plant those seeds and to do it humbly. Why? Because it's God's word. And it strengthens. It heals. It protects. It leads. And it guides. And that's what's so beautiful about it. Okay. You know, this works with everything. You know, you can take, I'm an old rancher. When I drive in the wintertime out in the field with a load of feed, because I'm going to feed them, those cattle are going to run over me getting to the feed. Feed them and they'll come. This is what's wrong with many churches in this nation today. They're not fed the Word of God. They're fed a bunch of other stuff, but not God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Anyone can teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and let God do the teaching. It's that simple. And people are starving for it. They're hungry all over the world to hear that truth as God directed it. Feed my sheep, he would say. Okay, verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. You don't lord it over anybody. But being in samples to the flock. You show them how it's done. You set that example. If you have peace of mind, that's the most valuable thing in the world. People can be around you and they can feel that peace of mind. You're not lording it over somebody. Mr. Goody Goody Two Shoes, better than anybody else. That won't cut it, okay? That's an imposter, one that would do this, okay? Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's a promise. Well, what is he talking about? Well, at the seventh trump, you receive a crown of glory. That's what you get for doing that, for feeding the flock. And hey, if you think we're talking church here, we're not. We're talking everyday life, people you come in contact with. That you don't force yourself on somebody, you don't make a nuisance of yourself, you protect your credibility. But when they see your humble way of bringing forth the peace, your peace of mind, they're going to ask you questions. They're going to seek you out because you're a good example. And they know that and they can feel it. And therefore, then feed them. With what? A ready mind. That means a mind that's prepared, that has the answers, basically. You don't have to know everything. But if someone approaches you, God will either show you the answer or show you can dig in and get it. Okay? Don't ever be ashamed to say, a lot of ministers ask me, well, how is it that you could open yourself up to a whole congregation with questions each time you teach? Now think about that a moment. And of course, my answer is, I don't mind saying, I don't know. Okay. There's no sin in not knowing something. But when you have to say, I don't know, that means we're all going to learn something because we're going to dig it out. We're going to find out what the answer is. So don't ever feel you know everything or have to know everything to discuss the word of our Father. Okay. There's a crown waiting for people that feed the sheep. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Got that? Not smartness. I almost said something I shouldn't have. Okay? But humility, okay? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, it's important, and the reason I brought you here is that word proud. Because it is the opposite of hupa echo. It is hupa athanas, which means haughty, too good for everybody. God just can't stand somebody like that. Do you understand that? You want to get this coming out the gate. You start trying to put on a show. You start trying to impress people with your great knowledge, okay, and haughtiness. And what does it say there? God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He's going to pass you over. So that's why I brought you here, so that you know coming out the gate, don't play that act, okay? That won't get you anywhere. Why? Because your heavenly Father is against it. As a matter of fact, that's what brought about Satan's downfall, Ezekiel 28, verses about 15 through 19, because of his pride, his proudness and his pride. God hates it. He really does. He just is against it, and he will pass you over, and you'll never amount to anything. As you grow in God's Word and as you learn, and someone asks you a question, it is not right for you to try to impress upon that person how much you know. But if you're a teacher, you go to that person's level of thinking and bring him, explaining on that level and bring him up to yours ultimately, as it takes time. Okay? It isn't important how much you know. If somebody is hungry, Be gentle. Feed them. That's why you're called a fisherman. You know, a fisherman doesn't get all excited and start throwing stuff in the water and shouting. That drives what? It drives all the fish away. To be a fisherman, you got to be gentle. Okay. You got to get out there and plant seeds that pull them in. Oh, wow, that is great. Okay. That grabs them. Okay. And then when you grab them, pull them in. Okay. And you're in good shape. But you can't do that being haughty. Okay. Because God is against it. People resent it. You're going to strike out. So always remember, go to that person and bring them up where you are. Don't overload their donkey their first time out of the chute. Okay. Or you'll lose them and do great harm. Verse 6, as we continue, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Just humble yourself, and when it's time, he said, I'm going to give you that crown, right? When he returns, when's that? Seventh trump, not until. Casting all your care, you know what this casting your care? That means you're anxious. That means you're worried. Put all your worries where? Casting all your worries upon him, for he careth for you. He does. Do you believe that? If you don't, you're a non-believer. You're an infidel if you can't believe that. Now, I'm talking a little rough here, but I want to jar you into knowing you've got to trust him. You have to know that. Well, I'm just not sure I believe that. Then you're not a believer. I don't believe in people that halfway believe. I don't believe in halfway faith. You either have it or you don't. Okay, period. You don't play games. And that has nothing to do with your level of understanding God's Word. You either believe He is your Father or you don't. Okay. You don't play games with Him because He knows what you're thinking. Okay. So don't hang on to worries. Cast them, get rid of them, put them on Him. Because why? He cares for you. He cares about you. He loves you when you're trying, when you're humble before Him. And He's going to bring you to that place. Verse 8, be sober. That means be sincere. Don't play games. Be vigilant. That means to be aware. Keep your eyes open. Study. Think. You've got a brain, keep it in gear. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's why you don't want to turn your back on him. Okay. You know, when, just about the time that you think you're celebrating and prayer has been answered and you are so happy, guess who's sawing the floor right out from under you? Because you turned your mind away and you weren't aware now. And here he is, ripper, 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 sawing the floor, right up from under you if you are not aware. Every minute he's after God's elect. He's got everybody else. Why wouldn't he want God's elect? Of course he does. And he's going to work overtime at it. So be aware, be sincere, and be watchful. Because Satan is coming, he will be here as the false Messiah. And he certainly wants to attract all he can with his beauty, all right, and his haughtiness. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing, I want to repeat that word, knowing, not guessing, not hoping, knowing that the same afflictions, that's to say, attacked, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Same thing happens to everybody, you know, especially if they be of God's elect. One more verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He will always do that, and to him be the glory forever. Amen. Father cares about you. And he wants, you know, it isn't that he just cares about you. He loves all of his children. How can his children be taught if the word isn't shared with them? It's got to be. Okay. That's part of it. And when you begin sharing that word, I guarantee you, God will bless your efforts exactly where He wants you, and you've got to be willing to follow and serve Him. Let's go back to chapter 2 of this same book. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, you don't need it, and all guile, useless, waste of time, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. It's not any good at all. Okay. Waste of time. And sometimes hurtful. Can be very hurtful. And the main person that hurts is you if you're the speaker thereof. Okay. It's not going to hurt anybody else that much. It will really hurt you. It'll hurt them some. But God's watching you. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That means unadulterated milk. That means the real true Scripture without a bunch of junk thrown in on the side, traditions of men. Okay, milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. The Word of God. It causes you to grow. It causes you to mature. And you get some people that have been studying in churches that never teach God's words, maybe 30 years, and they're not even potty trained yet, okay, spiritually speaking, because they haven't been taught a bunch of traditions of men that make void the Word of God and your stand, robbing you of the blessings of God, because God is not going to bless you unless you do it His way. Well, I've just been worried about that. Stop it. That's a waste of time. Don't be anxious. God's got His eye on you when you're trying. And it's in the book of life. Your record's right there in heaven, right by your name. And the record is there. Don't be anxious and don't worry, okay? Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, He's always good. That's why you can save Him. He's always going to be right, okay? Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Men crucified Him, the Savior. And He was the chief cornerstone. You ever seen that old pyramid and the top stone is gone? That's cornerstone. It's gone. It was rejected. But He's returning, and we're speaking symbolism here, okay? He is that stone. Verse 5, and when you believe upon Him, His living stone causes your stone to live. You become a stone, a follower of God. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones. Lively means living. Okay, that doesn't mean just living in the flesh. That means eternally living. Are built up a spiritual house, that's the true house of God, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. In other words, in your believing upon Him and knowing that He was rejected, He was crucified, but that He is returning, but you know that Satan that's like a lion seeking around is going to return at the sixth trump. And you've got to make that stand against Him. Well, that wouldn't cause me to worry. Then you don't have any faith. Because God, if you're a student of God's Word, you know in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, God tells Satan, you can go down there and bother everybody but those that have the seal of God in their forehead. That means they've put their brain to work and they know a little bit about this Word. They know who Satan is, and he's wasting his time trying to deceive them. They're going to come against Him, and we actually have power over Him. It was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. Are you a wimp? Okay, I don't know. That's your choice. All right. You can be a champion for our people and Almighty God, humbly serving Him and accepting that priesthood and being a part of that many-membered body. This is why Christ, he was lied about, saying, he said if you destroy this temple, he'll rebuild it in 3 days. He was talking about this temple. That's to say the many-membered body, the living stones that feed the sheep, that bring forth the word. That's the true house. It's not a building. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You're not going to be confused if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're quoting here from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, okay, in the Old Testament. And so it is. Verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, do you? Okay. But unto them which be disobedient, those that don't, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know what happens then? Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. They stumble at what? They stumble at the word of God, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, if you don't study, if you go against God, naturally, he tells you what's going to happen to you. Well, how could Christ then become a stumbling stone? It's real simple. Everybody teaches Jesus and Jesus saves. All you have to do is believe and you're going to fly away. That's a lie. It's not scripture. It's not God's word. And when the false Christ comes at the sixth trump, they're going to think it is Christ. He becomes their stumbling stone. They fall in bed with Satan and are impregnated with his false teachings, whereby they're worthless and go into perdition because they believed a lie. And do you know something? As it's written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, if you want to believe the lie, God will send stronger delusion yet upon you. He'll help you believe that lie. And if you don't believe his word is so simple a child can understand it. If you throw aside all the traditions of men that you've heard pounded and simply let God speak through his prophets and teachers and apostles, you can't go wrong. Okay. Make sure that Christ doesn't become a stumbling block for you by accepting the false Christ. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. Well, what generation is that? The generation that's here when the Antichrist appears. A royal priesthood and holy nation, one nation under God. A peculiar people, in God we trust, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this his marvelous light. That light is truth. It's guidance. It is the food you share, the feed you put forth. 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so it is that our Father leads, our Father directs, he guides, and he uses his people whereby they know and they understand. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Do you understand why he would call you a pilgrim? Because where were you before you came to this earth in this flesh body? You were with him. You were in the first earth age. It's scripture. It's written. And in flesh, you're just a pilgrim. Why? Because you overcame. You're that special generation that he counts as a generation and overcame there. You're just passing through here as a pilgrim. But you cut a wide way just like he did. He was a living stone. He makes you a living stone. Humbly, you keep your ship off the rocks and keep plowing straight ahead and receiving the blessings of God. But turn away from fleshly lust, okay? 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by that, they may be by good works which they shall behold. They're going to see it. Glorify God in the day of visitation. They're going to follow your example. That's why you want to always set that example. 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for God's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Supreme, there's that word again. And this is political, okay? Very political. But you have to do that. The word absolutely falls politically. Why? That supreme, in our case, republic, guarantees our right to do exactly what we're doing right now. Is spreading the seed, teaching the seed, not only in this nation, but around the world, that truth goes forth. And we do that by obeying that is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of these great United States of America, this nation of superpower of superpowers that God called out in these end times, the only superpower there is today. It's not an accident. It's by the hand of God. God loves, again, all of His children. This is our right to teach. 14, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. In other words, law and order is a wonderful thing that gives us, that punishes those that would try to harm physically and guarantee the right. One more verse to complete it here. For so is the will of God. You understand? You want to know what God's will is? Well, listen. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That means the traditions of men. I want to say that again. That with well-doing, with teaching God's word properly, you put to ignorance foolish men who would teach the traditions of man rather than the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Just after the great book of Ephesians, you have Philippians there, Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. And let's go with chapter 3 of the great book of Philippians. And chapter 3 reads, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You know, it seems like I'm writing the same thing over and over and over again, but it's not going to hurt you. It's just like sometimes we have to teach the same things over and over again. Don't worry, it's not going to hurt you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Concision here means, this word in the Greek means heathen cutting or mutilations. Okay. It's having to do with circumcision, okay. They get a little carried away with their cutting, is what he's talking about. It was one thing Paul had to argue a great deal again. 33, the true answer, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, now, circumcision is of the heart, not the flesh. It applies to both men and women, believers. In believing in Him, you are circumcised. Not by flesh won't get you anything. Okay. If you were to live by the flesh, you'd have to live by all the law, and I guarantee you, you wouldn't make it.
Okay.
But in Christ, when you repent and believe upon Him, you will have that forgiveness. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, Paul saying, if anybody wanted confidence in the flesh, I could do it. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul, he was a dandy, okay? He had credentials. 5, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. A lot of people want to know what tribe Paul was from. He was a Benjamite.
Okay.
In Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And boy, was he a Pharisee. He persecuted the church big time. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, which is in the law, blameless. In other words, according to Pharisaic law, I was blameless in persecuting the church, dragging them out and imprisoning them, killing them, some of them. Okay, that law of the flesh, it didn't matter. He was doing what was good. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Compared to him, it was nothing. Compared to the zeal that I had for that religion and the flesh, compared to Christ Jesus, it was nothing. Yet doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, I want to ask you a question in this lecture, as we have studied. What do you think that this word, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, what would you guess that word excellency to be in the Greek? I'm giving you a clue, okay? Hopa, echo, blameless, supreme, faultless, no worry, full of everything that you're supposed to be full of. Now let's read it as it should be. Yea, doubtless I count all things but a loss for the supreme advantage of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and compared to that, I count what I lost as dung. So here you have the echo again, that it brings you above, beloved. It brings you above the worries of this world. It brings you above that makes you anxious in this world, the waste of time. What does? The Word of God, the wisdom of God. You want to absorb it. You don't want to read over it. You don't want to miss it. It's powerful. It is power. It is the power that you need to get you through these times and why you don't have to worry, why you don't have to be anxious. What a fantastic word that God... And you know how much we can miss if we don't take our time to analyze the Scripture and the manuscripts. Okay. Because the meaning and the depth is there. That rises you above. And if you miss that and become a worry wart, you're not much good. Okay. I mean, you're good, but you're going to spend so much of your time worrying that you're going to have very little creative thought to move on ahead. What's down the road? Okay. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, my uprighteousness, my haughtiness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Absolutely. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death, being made conformable to his death. Verse 11, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Do you understand what that means? Euthanasia, deathlessness. You never die. Okay. Well, you're guaranteed eternal life. Why? You're a living stone. Why? Because you believe. You are a believer. And you receive that word, that wisdom from Christ that sets you above. And to be set above is a wonderful thing because there's troubled waters. I could liken it into when we take off in a jet. And it can be so stormy down here. And when you climb out and you get on past 30,000, 35,000, whatever, and you break out into the clear. And there's those white, stormy clouds and dark clouds below you. And you're above it. It doesn't bother you. You can just, hammer down. Okay? Right on. And I've had it both ways. I had a pilot's license before a driver's license. Before there were instruments in airplanes like that, and before we had airplanes that would do that, I had to putter through that stuff. I've had some exciting experiences. One I told about earlier at Prescott. Okay? But, you know, when you never get above what you have the capability of doing, and you'll always do real good, all right? But be above trouble. We're in a troubled old world. I'm telling you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I want you prepared mentally and spiritually to grin at it. What you're told is going to happen. And what else are you told? I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. As long as you use this instead of this, I'll be right with you, okay? God hates lazy people, okay? You know that coming out the gate. He likens lazy people to a set of hinges on the door, only they're hinged to a mattress. All they can do is flop from one side to the other. He's not going to help lazy people. Handicapped people, you bet he will help them. But I'm talking just plain old, you know what I'm saying. Okay? And so, be above it. Okay? Rise above it, mentally and spiritually. And God will always take care of you. Okay? Verse 12. Not as though I had already obtained, not that I'm there. I'm not above it all right now with eternal life, Paul was saying. Either he has an eternal life, but he's still in the flesh. We're already perfect. That means secured in the flesh, a spiritual body. But I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Apprehended is captured. I'm just captured by Christ, okay? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to be captured as yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want you to remember that verse. You can't look back. But brother, you don't understand. I sin. Well, you repented, didn't you? Then what are you looking back for? You said, I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's done. I forgive you, so don't throw it back up in my face again. That's Christ speaking. In other words, once he forgives you, if you keep bringing it up, you're a doubter. You don't believe he could forgive you because you think, well, I should have been perfect. Well, you're not. Okay. We all mess up at times. So don't look back. Look forward. You get after that mark, the mark of excellency, and you succeed and you overcome. Don't look back. Once you've repented, if you have faith, it's erased, it's gone. Don't bring it up again. Okay? 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you want to do. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that's to say mature in the word, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If there's some little thing you don't agree with me about, don't worry about it. I mean, we can have these little differences of opinion, but God will reveal who's right. You don't have to worry about it, okay? You stick with how you interpret God's word and don't let any man interfere with that. Unless he can show you the more correct way. Always be open-minded. But sail your ship. It's yours. You sail it. If it goes on the rocks, it's your fault, not somebody else's. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You live up to it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just come to church and hear about it. Live up to it. Do it. Okay. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. And there were some people that taught traditions, tried to take them back to the old law. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They call themselves Christ Christians, but they're not. You got to beware. You know what Christ warned about? First thing he said concerning his return at the seventh trump. He said, beware lest men deceive you, for many will come in my name. Meaning, they come claiming to be Christian preachers. He says, I didn't send them. Well, how can I tell, being a lay person, by the Word of God? If they're teaching you something they can't document in the Word of God and don't be ashamed to ask, then you better know they're peddling something you don't need. Okay. Whose end is destruction. That's perdition. Those that go into perdition. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to be looking for Him. He's not that far down the road. Who shall change our vile body, this flesh body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. In one wink of an eye, we're all changed. Boom. Just like that, into the spiritual bodies. Two or three more verses in closing. In chapter 4 of this same book, pick it up with verse 4 in closing. I want to take this word one more time. Rejoice. That's important. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You've got everything in the world to be happy about, beloved. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's coming real soon. Do everything in moderation. Don't go overboard in anything. Be careful for nothing. There again, do you know what that means? Don't worry. Don't be anxious for nothing. Well, why can't I worry about just a little bit? Well, listen and learn. Be careful or worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to Him. Let Him know what your request is. Let Him know what that problem is that you need. Don't worry about it. Speak it and let it be. Okay? Put your brain in power and motion and claim it. Okay? Verse 7. And the peace of God, listen carefully now, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why I brought you here. How many of you could guess what that word passeth is in the Greek? You got it. Above and to hold. Hoper echo. It means to be above and to be superior. What does it do? Is it you that's superior? No. Listen to the verb. All and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, in His understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hang on to Him. He paid the price for you. Why? He loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ does love you. And He set the example, and we have to follow. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, listen to me, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, you ladies relax, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or valor, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Those things which you have been both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Don't worry. He will be with you, bringing you above the storm of these end times, leading you and guiding you and directing you, showing you the way. He needs you for these end times. Champions of the people, those that have knowledge and